Hello everyone and welcome to Raw Talks podcast with me Sarah together with Simba and Mark from Living with the Spirit, and we are here to offer you raw and real conversations about physical, emotional and spiritual transformation. We are specialized in regulating the nervous system, somatic work, energetics, shadow work and deep and unique body work. Our purpose here today is to share our journey and our teachings with conscious leaders just like you and to unlock anything that is holding you back from living a life of freedom and purpose. We are truly grateful and honored to have you with us, and let's explore.
Okay, hello and welcome everyone to Raw Talks episode 64. I'm here with Dr. David Berselli, founder of TRE. Hello.
I'm sorry, I just did that. Can you do it again?
We can do it again. I saw it.
I moved my chair and then it became blurred. So, all right, I won't move. Do it again.
It's okay. This is great. This is great. This is how you loosen up for it, right? So it's not too stiff. Okay. Okay, everyone. Hello and welcome to Raw Talks podcast, episode 64. I'm here with founder of TRE, Dr. David Berselli. Welcome.
Thank you.
And we're so happy we actually sat down and started to record these conversations because we had these great conversations, me and you, and we said we should have recorded this. So now we're finally here and we get it on video and we can share it with other people. So I'm so happy to have you here and I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, I like it too. I enjoy talking with you, but what we're trying to do, and particularly in this podcast, we're going to re-envision or extend the vision of TRE into multiple avenues and directions. And we need to do that because TRE is growing, the world is changing. I was just thinking about the field of psychology is creating new research. They're going into the area of psychedelics, which is very interesting, very professionally moving in that direction. The field of physics is extending ideas about what it is to be a human body and a human organism. And certainly the globe is changing in light of all of the circumstances that are going on. And then the field of psychology is changing too, because it's learning more and more. So if TRE is to be contemporary, we have to keep up with all of these changes in all of these various modalities, because the tremor mechanism in TRE really is applicable in many ways to all of these things, because it is the nervous system. So the nervous system is affected by every one of these advancements in these different fields of sciences. And so how do we articulate TRE in light of the advancement of these new sciences? That's what we need to talk about.
I agree. I think that is plenty enough. There's plenty of roads. Probably going to be more than one episode on this. Yeah, when I look at it, the tool TRE as it is, the way that I approach it personally and professionally is really as a way to continue to grow, to expand yourself mentally, emotionally. When I say spiritually, I don't mean esoteric. I mean working with belief systems, working with ways of looking at what's right and wrong for me. So it's more about working through your belief systems. Maybe if you're in a culture and you feel like this culture is not allowing you to grow into the person you want to be. So whenever I mention things like that, it's more about expanding yourself and growing. And I think TRE is that perfect tool, because we can talk about this all day, but when your body actually starts to do it from within, you know something is happening, right? So what is that that happens, and how does that relate to personal development, would you say?
I think that's a perfect explanation. We could talk about it theoretical all that we want, even talk about the tremor mechanism theoretical. But when somebody experiences it somatically within the structure, that's when the change begins to occur. The real change occurs. And so all of these other sciences are talking about the very issue of how do we inhabit our bodies in light of new awarenesses and new insight that various sciences are giving us. But it still boils back to how does my body work and how does it not work? How is it being impeded by many different reasons? And so I think I like what you're saying. TRE isn't necessarily the method that people should grab onto. It's like, what is the tremor mechanism leading you to in yourself to become more alive as a living organism on the planet? And so it becomes a tool for the aliveness or lack of aliveness or inhibition of aliveness that all of us have in our bodies. That's what the tremor mechanism can help penetrate for us. And so that's what we should be doing, focusing on those parts or those places in us that are lacking the stimulation of aliveness that we want, and then use the tremor mechanism to help those areas open up so that we become more fully alive.
I agree. And it's very interesting when I look at TRE in my own journey and working with others that the body is actually telling you something. Many times the way in Western society, the way we acquire information is I go to an expert, I read a book, I do a course, which is great, nothing bad about it. But when your body is actually showing you something and giving you new sets of experiences, I think that's also part of the conversation we're having today. How do you follow along with those new experiences to explain or to have a framework to navigate what is it that actually happens? Because you change so much as you start to tremor.
Yeah, I think that's where the science of medicine is going. You know, when we're talking about fascia, which is kind of new to the field of even medical science, there's so much communication going on from the body to the brain, much more than comes from the brain to the body. But our society and culture teaches us to use the brain, the cranial brain, to control this somatic structure. And with the tremor mechanism, we're doing exactly the opposite. We're sending tremendous amounts of signals up to the cranial brain, and this could both be pleasurable and frightening for people at the same time, see? And so that's what we have to do. We must go here to see what information is still available here that we're not accessing, that we would be able to use to help us manage living in the world in basically a healthy and a happier way than we are currently doing. That, I believe, is the ultimate goal of the tremor mechanism, because it's only the only thing that it does is it takes tightness and loosens it. Once it loosens it, a whole new world can open up regarding fascia, the nervous system, muscles, all sorts of things readjust when the structure softens and becomes more flexible. That's our ultimate goal. Get the tremor mechanism to help us soften and become more flexible, and then follow what comes out as a result of that, which is leading us, in a sense, the body leading us into the new place, the next place of growth within ourselves.
I really like that. The next place of growth within ourselves. It feels like part of TRE helps you to stay in the current times, right? Because when there's a lot of stressors and big world events, change and stuff that happen, it can overwhelm us, the news and information. So if I'm getting it right, what you're saying, TRE helps you to actually stay present and watch the changes of the world as they're happening.
Yeah, I think that's its goal, is to create such a strong somatic sensation, because only the body can live in the present moment. The mind is the only thing that goes to the past and future, but the body doesn't go there. It stays present. It's our grounding force, if you will, so that we can envision a future. We can remember a past. We can be creative as living beings, but we need the ground and the connection to be able to do that. And that's all the tremor mechanism does. It stimulates such a strong sensory receptor in the human body that it keeps it present, more fully present than we normally are, which allows even greater exploration and envisioning of new ideas and new perspectives in life.
Definitely. And in terms of, I like to use the word consciousness, but it can be perception, it can be awareness. I know a lot of words, you know, they're neurologically charged. So if we mention certain words, spirituality, consciousness, we're not trying to get anyone into a religious congregation. We're talking about ways of expanding your worldviews, your belief systems. How would you say theory plays into that on a practical note?
Well, we were talking the other day and the word consciousness came up and you said some very profound stuff about it. Do you remember that you could repeat what you said?
I do, because he said, I would like you to remember this. Well, I've used this model to explain consciousness for myself and coaching as well. So if you look at a room, right, like your belief system, the perception of your reality, your world, like I'm in a room right now, there's walls, there's a floor, there is a ceiling. I feel the gravity, the weight that I'm sitting down. If I were to go up to one of these walls and place my hand and that wall magically moved a meter away, now all of a sudden what I thought was a wall that doesn't move, when that starts to move, that shows me something else is possible. If the walls move and the ceilings move too fast and I'd have no grounding, that's when I can get very fearful. And in my experience, when that goes to higher states, that's when it's more psychotic or maybe not clinical. There's other reason for that term, but it becomes a very high level of fear. So I all think it has to do with how fast are you expanding the way you look at yourself, your worldviews, your belief systems, and how much more can you take in when you actually start to expand? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense in this regard. When a person has tightness throughout their structure, it's sort of like those are the walls. They're the walls they're familiar with. But then when the tremor mechanism breaks through that wall, that's their first realization. Oh, I didn't know that was tight. I didn't know that muscle was tight. I didn't know my hip was tight. They won't know the tightness of the hip oftentimes until after the hip loosens. And then they say, oh, I realize now that I had tightness. So it's kind of like that. We have all these walls in our bodies. We're familiar with them. We believe them. They exist. But when the tremor mechanism breaks through those walls, then the person says, I didn't even know that wall was movable. And fitting in with what you said is that if we break through a wall too quickly and it goes too fast for the person, they're going to get terrified and they're going to resist and pull back. That's why we want the tremor mechanism to more gently sort of relax these walls and gently move them rather than making big breakthroughs in TRE, which then may cause a tremendous resistance and fear. We don't want to do that, but we do want to use the tremor mechanism regularly to keep melting away the tightness of these walls so they can slowly keep extending beyond our imagination of what we even think our human capacity or ability is. That's the key. It goes even beyond what we could have imagined we could become.
I love that. I think it's really a tool for transformation. And sure, there's many different tools as we started mentioning. But if that is the ultimate goal, I do believe there needs to be more avenues, or not necessarily that we have to explore more avenues, but just be open that there are more roads towards this goal. We cannot only use the two or three roads, whatever those are, psychology, neurology, and so on. We probably need to open up for more avenues to lead to the same goal.
Well, that's what I think science is already doing for us if we stay contemporary with it. It's starting to open up avenues. Look at all the research being done in the field of psychology and even traditional medicine around psychedelics.
Yes.
Tremendous amount of research. And what's fascinating about it is the research is demonstrating without a doubt that it actually reduces post-traumatic stress symptoms in very severe cases even. So now all of a sudden we have this whole new world where we were told psychedelics were bad, you should never use them, they lead you to the wrong place, and we're discovering medicinally used in a professional manner, they're extremely helpful. So my question is, if that's true, those psychedelics must be working with the nervous system, what if we included TRE, somebody who professional in TRE and also professional regarding the field of psychedelics, which I am not, but we know people are. What if we put those together to explore what will that combination do? Does that even help the tremor mechanism more? Does it actually reduce the anxiety of the individual, even just tremoring when it's introduced with some sort of psychedelic method or modality or medicine of some kind? Because we have, I've been reading it, Peter Levine, Bessel van der Kolk, Gabor Mate, they're all exploring the areas of psychedelics in the field of trauma therapy. Well, we're in that field. We should be professionally trying to follow suit to explore what does our tremor mechanism, which is the uniqueness of what TRE offers, what can it potentially do if we had professional people who are trained in how to administer psychedelics while a person is doing TRE? What could possibly come of that? It could be fascinating and open up a whole new world that we know nothing about right now. But like you said, that could be the next new avenue that we need to explore professionally.
Yeah, I think there is so many roads to do it. And I think it's really, I mean, this conversation is really about opening up the perception that we have many different roads to create this. Like you mentioned, I don't work with psychedelics in that sense, but I've had my journey started in that field, that I had explorations. And it was similar to what I was explaining this model with the room, expanding the roof and the walls. And what I later realized for me, that was also true for many others, that I didn't need to continue using it. But I like what you said, you know, we've been taught to look at something as bad. It's not just psychedelics, it can be anything that we look at it as bad. I think everything has its uses if you use it responsibly, definitely professionally, and in the right context, set and setting. You can do a lot of work. I think the main thing is really to look at any tools that there is out there and see how is there a possibility for me to explore this, to move on further. And what TRE naturally does is move the walls. And what you said, the field of psychedelics also moves the walls. What would happen if you have two of those at the same time? I mean, Right. Sure, that's an interesting experiment to look at.
Yeah. Well, what we've already been doing this, so it's not really kind of new, but a lot of TRE people are trained in many other modalities. So cranial sacral therapy, yoga, all types of other modalities, too many to name here, but they're incorporating TRE into those modalities and finding that the tremor mechanism, so we have to separate that from TRE, the tremor mechanism is assisting every one of those other modalities to be more effective. So it makes sense that the tremor mechanism is a nervous system's response or reaction. It is truly embedded in our nervous system. We should be exploring much more deeply how do we use this activation of our nervous system and filter it through many different modalities to actually increase, potentially increase the effectiveness of other modalities.
I agree. I think that's really the future, to look at it combining. And I mean, I'm training a lot of other modalities too. And a few of the modalities, they start to talk about the feel of energy psychology, how it's not just the neurons, the neuroplasticity. There is also frequency from your thoughts, from your words, and that frequency, depending on how we live our life, you will resonate at different frequency. And even they measure it, even diseases have certain frequency. If you look at a tool as TRE that induces tremors, that regulates the frequencies. I mean, we're definitely in the field of working with energy when we're doing TRE, but we talk a lot about it in terms of the nervous system. But I think that's also an avenue to explore. What does it do energetically for your organism?
Right. That's absolutely true. Again, the field of physics and the field of medical science are recognizing the future of medicine is vibration, sound, and light. They're talking about frequencies, and they're saying frequencies, if we know the right one, will heal cancer. We need the right vibrational frequency, the right tone, the right light, because light is also vibration and frequency, that the future of medicine is along those lines, not about administering pills anymore, not using biological interventions in the body, but using things like sound, light, and vibrational frequencies. That's the future. We are already there. TRE, the tremor mechanism, is a vibrational frequency. And if we were to use their science or articulate it from their language, we access a certain vibrational frequency that when it's capable, it actually can release these tremendous tightness and contractions that a person has in the body. And it even releases the potential emotion that might be stuck in there. And then a whole shift in consciousness occurs. So we're already working in the field of vibration and frequency and sound. I wish we had a machine that could actually hear the sound of the vibration of the body through TRE. We could actually give proof that when the body is tremoring, it's actually creating sound. I believe that it is. Physics would say that it is. We don't know how to measure it yet. But it would be an impossibility to tremor the human body like this and it's not generating sound. According to physics, that would be an impossibility. So we're already working in that field. We're just not articulating it enough yet. And we need to do that for sure. But what you and I want to do is encourage people to move into those fields without feeling fear or hesitation and give us some of that data. If they're professionally trained in TRE and professionally trained in another field, put them together and then let us know how do they work so that we collectively as a TRE community can gather the data we need to prove the effectiveness of the tremor mechanism that we're activating.
I believe that is the future, definitely, too, that one is skillfully trained and know what does TRE do. I have practiced that with clients. I know this is what TRE does. This is what the other modality does. Okay, what happens if I, with that knowledge, bring those two together and co-create?
Right, exactly. It's exactly what should be happening to a species that's exploratory. We learn one thing, we learn another thing. It is our nature to say, wow, what happens if I put them together? That is the nature of being human. And so we shouldn't have parameters and barriers that prevent the very nature of human exploration from being able to express itself within the TRE community.
I agree. And I think a lot of people are already doing it, but having a conversation about it and, of course, you know, being mindful and responsible. And I would say that the focus that I'm trying to relay is really, where are you going? It's not so much, what are you doing? Start playing around with this and that. Where are you going? And how can you try different ways to get there? Not necessarily faster, but if I'm using one way only, there are other paths that I might start to incorporate that can just give me more space and more awareness, more consciousness.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Can you explain a little bit more about where are you going? Because I think that's a wonderful phrase, but there's great depth behind it. Could you just articulate that a little bit more?
Definitely. So a part for me when it comes to TRE is definitely incorporating in more body work treatments, craniosacral therapy, and have the tremors kind of relate the story. Now, sometimes when I see tremors, sometimes when I do body work or when I combine them, it's like I'm physically holding space for someone, an organism, and I'm guiding them in through the journey of whatever happened to them or whatever is going on. And sometimes if we guide them correctly, when we do this work, they can start to articulate where they might be stuck. Because most people come for a reason, right? I have a pain, I can't get over this, I'm stressed about this, or whatever it is. So there's somewhere, like you said, there's somewhere where there's tension and where people are stuck. So when I do body work like craniosacral therapy and I combine it with tremors, it's like the body starts to tell us what is going on. And you can get the person aware of that because I'm sitting there as a grounding anchor. and the body starts to tell them what is actually going on. And then the body can get the permission from the mind or consciousness or wherever we see it comes from. And it can start to break those barriers faster, more efficient. And it might go even deeper than what you have done on your own if it's a theory session.
Yeah, I'm convinced the human organism in which we live is always communicating to the brain. We already know that through medical science. And it's always communicating a problem or a place where it's healthy and happy, what's going good and what's going bad. The tremor mechanism helps us maybe listen to and even observe a little bit easier what the organism is trying to communicate to us. And that's what cranial sacral does as well. So all of it is about trying to listen to a living organism that's speaking constantly about what's helping it become more alive or what's deadening it. The same thing with our diet and the food that we eat. It's constantly telling us that hamburger didn't help me. Or, you know, those carrots tasted terrible, but I feel better. It's constantly communicating to us how to live in it, how to appreciate living in an alive organism. I just think the tremor mechanism is a very integral and essential part of that communication. And so we're lucky we know how to use it and activate it. But then the whole thing is about now let's listen to what it's telling us or showing us. And that's what I think we have to do, is just activate it and then pay attention to what it's saying.
I agree. I agree 100%. And other ways we have explored theory is also using vibration, sound healing tools. And you can actually even having the person not seeing the instruments, if they start to do tremors and you start to play a gong or a singing bowl, you can see how the body starts to match the frequency somehow. That's probably the best way that I can explain it.
Well, it would make sense. Yes, vibrational frequencies will try to intone to each other. But you're right. And I've seen this done several times. And I had the experience a couple of times myself where somebody would simply ring a bowl in various tones, you know, the smaller to bigger bowls, while I'm tremoring. And there is no doubt in my body that my tremor changed according to the adjustment of the new frequency that was introduced into the room. There's no question that happens. Well, if that happens, and there's no question that it does, we should be exploring it. It's that simple. It's not a complicated issue. It's about keep doing it, and whoever is doing it, write down what's happening and notice patterns or notice changes, and then be able to log that, yes, if you hit this bowl at this frequency, this will help change strong movements into more refined movements. We want to learn that because that's part of us learning how to be more refinedly professional with the tremor mechanism.
Yes, 100%. And another way that I've seen theory can be intermixed with other modalities is through the work of fascia. And when we start to go into the fascia, it gets very interesting because it's kind of like you said, all rules and all ways that I'm taught anyways to look at the body, they start to blur. They start to blur in a way that really kind of hits the nail on what we said with the consciousness expansion, because it doesn't move. It doesn't organize itself the way that I'm taught that it does as a personal trainer and study anatomy, physiology, body worker. All of a sudden, there's something else that starts to move, something else that comes up, tells a story. And yeah, it's no pun, but it's fascinating. The work with the fascia.
Very good. Okay. But that's true. I've watched and experienced myself. I think my fascia is moving the same way it's always moved, etc. But then at some point, something begins to shift. It's the smallest little thing. But if we follow that, and this is because of fascia, it starts leading you down a train of a whole place that you didn't even know was tight. So it might not start at the place of tightness, but it'll start at the place where it can begin to loosen itself. and then it follows the train all the way to the tightness. See, those are the refined behaviors that we need to develop as professional TRE people, that we look at in a more refined way, what is the tremor mechanism showing us in the body? And I think that's where all these people, like cranial sacral people and fascia release experts, et cetera, all of them can contribute to, yes, I use the tremor mechanism and here's what I see it doing in fascia. Here's how I see it assisting cranial sacral therapy. We need that data. Even if it's just somebody writing about it in the TRE community, that is substantially important for all of us to learn how to refine our vision of the tremor mechanism in the body.
Yeah, it's almost like watching another body tremor. As you watch another body tremor, you absorb that knowledge. If someone is starting to write about it and explore it and share their findings, it will benefit everyone and it will drive all of us forward.
Yeah, yeah. Even just videotaping a session like that, where we actually can visually see, here's the normal tremoring, here's what they do. Now I'm going to do a cranial sacral intervention on them. And let's watch and see how does that change the tremoring right there. And that only has to be 5 minutes, you know, but it's a perfect example of I'm taking the tremor mechanism, adding a modality. I'm trained in both. Responsibly, I see here's what's happening and here's the value of combining those two modalities.
I agree. I really agree. This is a way of, like we mentioned, those different avenues of expanding. And I mean, whether it is fascia or someone is interested in psychedelics and they have a professional safe container where they can explore that and doesn't get stuck in that, that they use it as a tool just to come to the next level, or if it's sound or whatever the avenue is to gain consciousness, I think it's the same as most that starts with TRE. You get a question. What do you feel? Oh, it's a good or bad answer, right? Okay, what are you noticing in your body? What are you talking about? I have one. But as you start to practice it, you become more refined. Oh, there's nuances. I can be hot, I can be cold. I'm more aware of this, I'm more aware of that. And I think that's what we're trying to say here as well. There's different avenues to bring that awareness in so you can consciousness can expand.
The place that has been most explored, at least in history, is when we introduce somatic therapy or body work into the field of psychology or counseling. And so they would see certain movements in the body or certain awareness of the breath changing and that sort of stuff. And then psychologists or clinical counselors could work with that. So they're bringing in their clinical counseling skill with the tremor mechanism. So we've done that very well in the TRE process, because at the beginning of TRE, most of the providers were clinical therapists of one kind or another. And so they already have been incorporating that. We're just talking about, let's keep following that tradition, bring in the next contemporary science that's presenting itself to the world, such as psychedelics, and proving the effectiveness of reducing post-traumatic stress symptoms. Well, that's what we've been doing for years through the field of psychology. Let's add something else, just the same as Bessel van der Kolk is doing and Peter Levine is doing this. Let's do the same thing. Let's follow this professional movement to saying, let's incorporate the new sciences into our modality.
I agree. And I think that's what we are talking about, the way of continuously evolve something and not say, okay, we're continuing to evolve this, but we choose one modality or we choose one field of work. It needs to be multiple fields of work that work with it together. And you can see, how does it fit in here? What can I learn from this field that maybe I'm not doing? And what can this field learn from me that maybe they are not doing? I think it just adds more collective experiences and gives more opportunities to work with TRE.
Right. If I were to watch you take a client and let them tremor and then do a cranial sacral intervention, even though I'm not trained in that, I would learn something still by the observation of this that could give me insight on how I could do something similar, not being a cranial sacral therapist and not making a cranial sacral intervention, but I would see a vision of, wow, I see what that does. How would I replicate that possibly, not having to be trained in that modality? But I did see how the human organism moved as a result of that. See, so I just think there's so much for us to learn from each other.
I agree. And coming back to what we said about energy and vibration and frequency, it's, I also do a lot of energy healing, Reiki and energy work. And it's hard to know what you're talking about until you start to feel it and you navigate those experiences. And I also feel that's part of the conversation, that these are different ways to refine your senses, connect yourself on a deeper level, and maybe even remember, because everything what we're talking about is already existing inside of us, but due to stress or society or due to whatever, we've forgotten pieces and we shut down pieces of ourselves. So we're talking about just what can I do to reclaim them and become more of myself that I'm already am or that I already have within me.
Yeah, I think all we're really talking about is using every modality we possibly can to restore the human organism in which we're living to its greatest aliveness. That's it. It just wants to be fully alive constantly. And like you said, society and all the things that we have to deal with in the current situation we're living in constantly reduce that aliveness. The tremor mechanism is just pushing those walls a little bit more, saying, wait, you can be this big and you're living only this big. Yes. And I can help you get to be that big. And I can help you to do it easier if we use other modalities in conjunction with assisting the nervous system's tremor mechanism.
Definitely. And when I look at TRE and tremors, I mean, that's the first step. I told you many times, I look at it as, not saying anyone is doing it better or worse, but the saying I have is most people that I see, myself sometimes included, are using TRE as a kick bike, and it's a spaceship. It can bring you to new places within yourself and interactions with other people. And I feel it's kind of like a racing horse that wants to get loose. And we're like, no, you have to run in this way, in this speed, like just let it loose and see where it wants to go and what it teaches us.
Right. I think that's right. And I think that's part of evolution as well, because medical science would hold their boundaries real strict and say, no, you can't do. I mean, look at psychedelics. I hate reiterating it, but, you know, no, medical science, it's horrible. Never do it. Now, all of a sudden, they're saying this is amazing. It's the biggest breakthrough for post-traumatic stress people. Well, it was this rigid boundary that was the problem, not the psychedelics.
Yeah.
Using the psychedelics in a professional manner instead of keeping such a rigid boundary that people used it in a lack of a professional manner, which was sometimes unhealthy. I think the tremor mechanism is the same thing. It's saying, let me be free. Let me move. Let me show you what I could do, because I can do a lot more than what our evolution in the TRE process has allowed us to do so far. And I'm saying, all right, we've got to follow all these other sciences and let go some boundaries, let it break loose in a professional, safe manner, but we have to let go and we have to allow it to move and explore and show us new ways that this tremor mechanism can assist the body come to this great aliveness that the human organism is so desirous of.
I agree. And I think the lockdowns that happened during COVID is a good example. Before breathwork and TRE and a lot of modalities, the way that I was taught anyway, or perceived it, was, no, you have to be in the same room as someone else. What if they had an adverse experience? What if they get overwhelmed? You have to physically be there with them so you can contain and ground them. And then COVID happened and everyone said, we got to try, because we cannot just not work with people for 3, 6 months, a year, however long it goes. And look what happened. It was one of the best experiences to happen to people, because they're at home, you're safe, it's familiar. I might even be able to go deeper than I do going into a clinical office.
I've had that with many, many TRE people, because when COVID first happened and we got online, I would ask them after the session, did you feel safe? And did you feel like I was present to you? Did you feel like you were being taken care of? Hands down, yes, it was like you were in my room. Yes, because I'm in my own house with my dog, I felt safer than when I go to a therapist. Or so you're right. It forced us into opening up a boundary that we had said previously because history had shown us, no, it's not safe to do this. All of a sudden, it was safe to do this. And not only that, it had tremendous benefits for doing it that way. And we're still doing it that way. Many people are doing sessions online. We're reaching so many more people who would never have access to go to therapy or to go to a TRE provider. And now they have access to do it right from their own home. And they don't have to pay a lot of money because a lot of TRE providers are doing it for free or for very little cost. We're reaching probably several hundred thousand people more inviting TRE into their homes and into their lives. That's the spreading of TRE. That's how it's supposed to be happening.
Also think the connection, right? Because sure, you can feel connected with someone when you talk about it, but we did a session before and you said, okay, I'm sitting here, this person is sitting on the other side of the world, but I feel it in my body that something happens to someone else. So it keeps us connected in a digital age as well, I think. I think that's another aspect of, wow, I can feel what you feel, but you're somewhere far away from me.
Right. Well, see, it's the same thing. We've known about this digital age stuff. You could sit in a movie theater. You know you're watching a screen and you're crying your eyes out because their heart was broken. Well, it's ridiculous if you just look around and say, well, that's all a big lie. It was just a movie. That's all. It's not reality at all. But look how connected we are to that. So then what's to say that you and I can't be deeply connected over the internet using this AI tool that we have available to us and helping thousands of people to access a tremor mechanism safely. It's like AI is proving that we're capable of doing that. And so I think that's another place we need to begin exploring more.
Definitely. And I've seen that too now, training TRE providers that, well, it was in the same situation for me when I was done training a TRE provider. The first question was like, now what? Okay, I'm going to teach classes in the one-on-one sessions. And then after 4 to 5 sessions, bye. Or, how do I continue to work with myself and with others? And
Right.
that's how my ideas of starting to mix modalities, becoming a trainer. That's kind of where the interest for me sparked. And that's really why I also want to relay in this conversation that there should be also different avenues to continue to explore TRE towards this directory of expanding consciousness and.
Right. Yeah, I do think we need to incorporate and start doing more about expanding beyond the TRE quote boundaries that we've created because we're maturing as a TRE community. And in that maturing process, we're saying, wait, I want more. I don't want just the standard training program. And then I do a few sessions afterwards. I'm certified now. I want to know how do I keep going deeper? How do I work with a client even better? So they're looking for these advancements in their own internal progress. And that's not any longer going to be happening just by an advanced training every other year. The advancement, I believe, should be and can be happening through trainers themselves, even providers sharing information. We should be collectively advancing ourselves as a community rather than looking for someone else to advance us. We should be exploring our own selves about what do I need? Do I want to see a cranial sacral therapist and how do they work? Do I want to see a massage therapist, a yoga practitioner, and how do they include TRE in their practice? There are plenty of those people in the TRE community. We should all be seeking them out to say, show me what you do so I can understand how can I apply something similar in a safe, professional manner to improve my own tremoring. And therefore, improve my own depth and my ability to be greater in my depth with my clients.
Yeah, and ultimately, isn't that what TRE is teaching us? Or at least the tremors. The tremors are trying to show us something and break free of something. So coming back full circle, it's really it's already happening. Why don't you let it happen? That's really how I look at it.
Yeah, I think that's perfect. That's a nice way to sort of conclude what we've been discussing. We're coming back full circle. The tremor mechanism is trying to help us make breakthroughs. We should be working with that in a cognitive manner as well, rather than inhibiting the tremor mechanism from showing us and assisting us in making these bigger breakthroughs.
And there's so many different avenues. Like you mentioned, psychedelics, there's energetics, there's sound, there's frequency, vibration, hands-on body work. You mentioned yoga, voicing, you know, it could even be someone singing. I mean, there's so many different ways that you can affect the body chemically.
Right. I would love to see every modality that we have in the TRE community, all of these different modalities. And I would love to see them do a TRE session incorporating their modality so that all of us could watch this and see the expansiveness of what the tremor mechanism in TRE is really capable of.
Yeah, that would be something, or I think that is going to be something because, you know, and then from there, who knows, that could build on to having, after you have a certain structure to it, after you practice that for a while, sure, that could be a specialty that you do, that you have different ways of navigating TRE. Okay, you want to go in more into body work. Here's a trajectory for you. But I also feel I like the idea of having continuation trainings.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a balance in that too, right? Not to confine it too much.
Right.
If it's too free, then I might have to reinvent the wheel and everything. So I think there is a benefit of having someone that has done it, a mentor, maybe like you said, a structure, a methodism to do it, but not too rigid too, because it needs to be free and explorative as it is in nature.
Well, see, exactly right. As it is in the human body, when our structure is too rigid, we're killing it. I think the same in the TRE world. You keep a structure too rigid, you're going to start to kill it. It needs to be able to pulsate the same way the tremor mechanism is teaching us to pulsate. It needs to be able to breathe and then come back and say, wait, that wasn't the right way. Then it needs to be able to expand a little bit more and say, well, we have to refine it. We need to allow this pulsation to occur in our learning process as we expand TRE, knowing that, okay, let's do this. And then, all right, I know how to refine that better now. And that's what we've done with the tremor mechanism anyways. Ever since we first established it, we've learned how to refine our way of using it and teaching it within the TRE program. We're just following the same principle of just allowing expansion to occur, but now through different avenues as well. And I think it is the nature of the human body and the nature of the tremor mechanism in the human body to deliberately move us in that direction.
Yeah, and explore boundaries, because I mean, that's a lot of what it is. If I have a boundary, if I have a belief system, if I have a set way of thinking, and if something outside of this belief system scares me, well, responsively and of course, consciously, maybe explore what that is. Maybe that will actually help you. Maybe not discard it and say that's bad. It might be, but we don't know unless we look at it in an intelligent and conscious awareness based manner.
Yeah. And that's I think, is what would be really helpful, to have more discussions in the TRE community. Find these like-minded people who have these ideas and maybe certain modalities. Like if we got 10 cranial sacral therapists together talking about TRE, what would come out of just that conversation? And maybe include 10 people in there that don't know cranial sacral therapy, who could ask the questions to help expand the articulation and the knowledge of including the tremor mechanism in a cranial sacral session. I think there's so much creativity available. I've always felt from the very beginning, the only thing that is limiting TRE is creativity, or lack of creativity. We have to be more creative, and we can be. I think the tremor mechanism is pushing us, pulsating us towards greater creativity.
I agree. I think creativity really is life expressing itself at the fullest. And if we feel the shame that we won't be accepted or laughed at or ridiculed, I mean, that's the opposite that creates contraction. So it needs to open up somehow so the creativity can flow and pulsate, like you said, that it can flow freely.
Exactly.
Wonderful. Well, it feels like I can talk about this for days, but I kind of feel a full circle here for this segment today. What do you feel?
Yeah, no, very good. I enjoyed our conversation, and I think we did kind of go full circle.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining, and
Thank you
we're
so
going to
much for
have
having me.
plenty more discussions like this, I'm
Yeah.
sure.
Okay. All righty. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in. And please send us a DM for any questions, inquiries, or consultations. Please follow us on YouTube, on Instagram, on Facebook, and on LinkedIn. And please visit our website, livingwiththespirit.com, to read more about us and what we do. And remember, freedom and purpose is your birthright. Lots of love.